Hey, this is Samir.
Hey, this is Alec.
And this is Beyond the Beats, episode number 70. Let's get it.
EDM champions, welcome back to yet another episode of Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. This week, I'm taking the on repeat, and oh boy, I am really excited to introduce you to the sounds, the beautiful, vibey tech house sounds of John Summit. This is his track called Deep End. You're gonna love it.
Prieto, you're starting the episode off on a nice, vibey, housey, four to the floor, groovy note. And that's what we need for episode 70, man. Hell yeah, I'm pumped up on this. I'm so pumped. How did you discover this song? What caught your eye on this one?
Really, for me, what gets me going about this song is just how much of a summertime, windows down in your car, road trip type of song for house, you know? And like you could see this playing live as well. I'd love to hear this at like a beach festival or a beach club. But you know, what really got me into this song, man, was when we were driving off to see a local state beach that was just reopening again. And it's really beautiful, lots of space so you can stay away from people, you don't have to get too close. And on the way is there's a really, you know, just jaw-dropping vista, just driving out San Francisco, going south towards Half Moon Bay. This song came on just randomly. It was like on a shuffle from something. So it was lost somewhere in my library from a long time ago. And I was like, wow, is this just a perfect vibe? It's very interesting though, because if you listen to the lyrics of it, it's actually a little bit darker than what the vibe is like, right? You know, so I always find that contrast really interesting, that juxtaposition there. But it's just something that just makes you want to smile and drive off and see your sunset. So that's really what got me onto the song, my man.
Oh, I love that word vista. That's so nice. That sounds beautiful.
I haven't said it in a while and I thought, why not say it?
Alec coming in with this this bodacious vocabulary, man.
Oh,
that's why we
there
keep
we
him
go.
Around.
Are you switching up? Are you thinking about, you know, adding some more diversity to your vocabulary, my man?
I am, because I need to spice up my emails in my 9-to-5 job. So I'm just trying to think of all these dope words I could just throw at people. You know, I think people are kind of tired of me saying the quar, so I'm trying to get a little bit more eclectic.
Thank God. I mean, like, when I mean real words, Samir, not made up fake ones or abbreviations. That's not expanding your vocabulary, that's degrading it.
No, dude, I'm making it spicy over here. I'm making it spicy. But EDM champions, welcome back to Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. We love you, and we're so happy to be here with you guys for episode 70. This is craziness, man. Like, I feel like time is just flying by, but we're having
flown
fun.
By.
It's all good vibes. It's all smiles. And you know what? We are so thankful that we have you guys, our friends, to join us for this conversation. Don't be afraid to reach out. Let us know your thoughts. At PodBTB is the Twitter. Instagram is at btb.pod. We're on Facebook. Or feel free to send us an email, connect@beyondthebeats.co. We would always appreciate hearing from you guys because we love you and we care about you and we hope you're staying safe. This week on Beyond the Beats, we're talking about a lot of great stuff and a lot of crazy new music. We got Chris Lake with a new edit of a song called All Night Alone. Very excited to be talking about that. Aurel Grime just put out the Sable Valley Summer Volume 1. Hint, hint. Crazy shit on that. All right, let's keep going. We got Tiesto and Vintage Culture teaming up again, Armin van Buuren, and a bunch more tracks. Diving into the new music from artists that we're watching, we got Voltra teaming up with More Kismet. They killed it on this track. Very excited to be talking about that. We got 2Mix and we got Anima Drop as well. Get ready for that. All right, then we got some news and culture for you guys, talking about Spotify introducing DJ curated playlists, and they're calling it Track IDs. Love that name. Love that name. Very excited to get into that. And then the UK had its first socially distanced concert. Really interesting setup. We're going to be talking about that in just a little bit. Diving into the What Are We Listening To section, we got two pieces of music. Glass Animals, the indie electronic group, just released a brand new album called Dreamland, and we got Madeon's brand new single, The Prince, and then we got the artists that were watching the epitome of the Beyond the Beats podcast. We're all about putting on fresh underground talent and getting them to a larger audience, and we hope that you guys enjoy our picks for this week as much as we enjoyed talking about them on this week's episode to you guys. All right, back to the top, Alec. Here we go. We're gonna start up with Chris Lake, a little bit of house music, baby. Keeping up those vibes. We got his edit of Justman's All Night Alone. Take a listen.
This is a solid release for me. It's not my favorite, not going to lie about that. However, this is definitely a solid release, Samir, and it just goes to show you how far Chris Lake, sorry, I was about to say Chris Lenzo, not that
I know, I heard that.
I was like, no, not him. But Chris Lake, right, he's just come so far and gained so much popularity in what seems like a relatively short amount of time. I mean, he's been around forever, but just recently in the last, 5 years, so he's just really just gone from strength to strength. Just shows you how far he's come, because normally for a lot of artists, a track like this, you'd be like, okay, wow, this is actually a really, really good track for them. But he's at that level and that standard now, that quality. The bar is so high for him. I almost find myself sometimes being like, okay, this is just sticking to kind of the formula that got to him to where he is now, but it's just not quite the best I've heard from him.
I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not that big fan of the edit. I much prefer the original. The original by Justman, All Night Alone, it is catchy, it's fun, and the lyrics are crazy on this track too. And the lyrics did play in the Chris Lake edit as well, but the lyrics in the original are already a little bit hard to understand. Like, you really have to kind of pay attention. And then I feel like the lyrics and the vocals just really got lost in the Chris Lake edit. Like, it was just very muddy. And that's why I'm not such a big fan of Chris Lake's edit of this track, All Night Alone by Justman. I'd much prefer the original, and that's the one I'm going to continue to listen to. So let's continue onwards, dude. Oh my God, we would not be a podcast about EDM music culture if we didn't talk about this heat. Here we go. Arl Grime, we've been talking about him so much, okay? He's got his record label, Sable Valley. Finally, the man has curated their first release. They're calling it the Sable Valley Summer Volume 1. And let me tell you guys, this is craziness. I'm going to start with my personal favorite off of this release, and I'm going to play Hollow Tips for you guys. Take a listen. Got me blowing hollow tips. What you say to me, bitch? What you say to me? Yeah. What you say to me, bitch? What you say to me, bitch? What you say to me? Yeah. What you say to me, bitch? Absolute heat, my man. Absolute heat. It's just, this whole compilation is just unbelievable, but especially this song, man. Like, this was like basically, a tied first place for me off of this compilation as well. Just such creativity packed in there. There's just so much depth to the song, but it really just gets you want to headbang and just get going. I know. Effin really popped off on that track, Hollow Tips, man. Such a big fan of that one. Alec, what is your pick? Tell me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Not Two and a song, Gems. Let's take a look.
Bro, this is such a crazy, crazy track, man. Like you already said, this whole EP, sorry, not even EP, this whole release from Sable Valley is just chock full of surprises and, best of all, creativity. What we thought was going to start off as just like a solely trap label has expanded to something much further beyond that. We got some influences of breakbeat in these tracks. We got some DMB in here as well. It is crazy what these artists have been able to do. And what I love about what Arl Grime is doing is this guy has got his ear to the floor of the underground. He's not just putting on artists like Weathen, who he collabed with for a track on this release. He's got artists of all calibers of popularity. He's going underground, mainstream, whatever. If it sounds good, it's ending up on here. Mm-hmm. All Grime has a vision. Sable Valley has a vision. And I am here for it. This is crazy.
It's unbelievable, man. It's just, you know, this is really the first time we've seen the full depth and breadth that Sable mm-hmm. Valley is looking to take on. So very interested to see how they go from here. But big fan of what they're doing, and I'm excited, man. This is going to be some awesome. Just can you imagine their showcases in the future?
Oh my god, you know,
in-person events, virtual events, whatever it may be, just it's going to be unbelievable.
They're going to be hosting stages at the biggest festivals when we get back to the dance floor. 100%. Alec, you know what, man, I know you are a massive fan of one of the artists that collabed on this next track. Why don't you go ahead and introduce this one to us?
Why, thank you, sir. All right, I told you, everyone, I told you that this was coming. Brazilian bass is here, and it's going to take over the main stage, the main virtual stage. It's coming, okay? 2020 is its big year. 2021, it's going to get really big. And I think 2022 is when it's really, really going to pop off. But without further ado, okay, take a listen to this song from Vintage Culture and Tiesto. It's called Coffee, Give Me Something.
Alec loves to say he told you so. He just absolutely loves being right. And you know what? I can't blame him, because this is like Brazilian bass is just so much fun. We talked about it on last week's episode and we're talking about it again. And Vintage Culture is like truly like at the forefront of bringing this internationally, man. I love to see it. It's an interesting collaboration. I feel like Vintage Culture, like his Brazilian bass style, it really kind of contributed to the structure of this track. And then Tiesto came in and like peppered it with like his trance / progressive house seasoning, as I like to call it. You know what I mean? It's a good track, but you know, the one thing that really took away from this for me, what were the lyrics? Straight up cheese, dude. You know what I mean? Like those lyrics about like, take me away and let's escape. Like, where the fuck are you going? Huh? Where are you going? You don't have a spaceship. Where are you going? So overall, great track. Lyrics, I could do without. Alec, what'd you think?
You know, it's funny, man. I'm kind of with you there too. I know I hyped up the genre. I think it's coming.
Yeah.
But I think this is just showing its growing pains. I don't think it's been able to be, because it's going to be some type of morph. I don't think it's going to be entirely Brazilian based yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Tiesto's been the supporter of Vintage Culture for quite a while now, a couple of years. Yeah, I think this is kind of the signs of the growing pains, trying to combine something that's a little bit more popular in the mainstream right now in the US, just Tiesto's sound with the Brazilian bass influence there, and I don't think it quite hit the mark. And I agree with you, I think the lyrics are a little cheesy. So this is not my favorite song of his, but it's more of a like, it's coming. And I think it's just going to get better.
Dude, I'd love to hear it. Our resident Brazilian bass expert has spoken.
Alec,
you're getting a lot of titles on this show. We got Vibe King and now resident Brazilian bass expert, man. I love to see it.
I never thought I'd be getting so many labels.
Add it to your freaking LinkedIn. All right, here we go. We got Armin Van Buuren and we got Avira teaming up for their brand new collaboration, Illusion, EDM Champions. Take a listen.
What's the first word that comes to your head when you listen to this?
Bro, one word, five letters. Vibes.
Very nice.
I love it, dude. I'm a fan of this track. What I really liked about this one, and I'm not usually the biggest fan of trance, but this feels like a nice trance / progressive house collaboration going on here, number one. And I love the focus on the overall atmosphere rather than like these massive like, you know, loud trance synths, you know what I mean, that we hear in a lot of trance music. Dude, honestly, if Armin or Avira gave me a set of like 100% this type of vibe, this type of music, count me in, man. I am so there. Nice. I love this sound. And it's kind of warming me up to more trance music, I'll be honest. This is kind of cool. What do you think?
For me, the word would be atmospheric, right?
Ooh,
you could see...
Let's go.
Right? I mean, it's just... It is... A song that has clearly focused very much on creating a 360 degree feeling within the track. Like once you really get into it and you're really zoned in, you know, like I'm sure people can relate to, there's songs and there've been sets and things where they've almost felt like they're in a state of flow, right, with the performer, with the DJ. And this is a type of track that if you're in the flow with Armin and with Avira, you're going to get a fully, you know, holistic sense of journey and of progression. It sounds really kind of hippie when you talk about it that way, but it's one of those tracks that just does feel like it has more of a narrative and is focused more on creating a, you know, almost like picture type of thing in your head.
Yes.
when you're thinking about it, right? Like you can almost imagine scenery when listening to the song.
Beautiful. This is why we love you, man. You just set the scene so well. EDM champions, we got one more for the new music section. We're talking about Crank Dat and his brand new track Tell Me, released on Monster Cat Records. Take a listen.
Think I was about this, Samir? How well do you know?
I don't think that you're about this. Do you mind if I call out why I don't think you're about this?
Yeah, go on.
It's the video game eye aesthetic, man. Uh-huh. You're not about it, huh?
I am about this song.
Oh, what? Oh my God! Look at this guy.
I gotta switch it up sometimes, man. I actually am, and here's why. I feel like Crank Dat, when he does it well, he incorporates it with this trap dubstep. I don't know how or what it is, but there's just something about the way he produces his music. It doesn't lean too heavily into the video game type of sounds. And it does sometimes. Like, so I'm not a big fan of all of his tracks, but the ones that I really, really do enjoy, it uses it more as a theme and kind of, if we're talking about atmospheres and environments, it's almost like it is the environment through which this song is being played and being produced. So it's got the influences in there, but it's not the core of the track. The core of the track isn't this video game-esque sound.
Yeah, I hear
right?
you.
I don't know how to describe it any better than that, but he kind of just really treads the line very carefully with this song in particular, as well as his Gear World remixes that became you know, hugely popular.
I thought you were just kind of not into like video game aesthetics just overall, but now I'm understanding like if there's a specific time and place where you enjoy it. And I think that's really neat.
Yeah.
So that's great to hear.
I'm not a complete hater on it.
I can tell. I'm really excited about that. But I got to say, I really do dig this song. The percussion on this track is absolutely spotless. I mean, that shit is spectacular. I'm a big fan of the video game aesthetic. Like this isn't something that I was just like, whoa, but it's a fun and flirty track, and it gets you moving. That's what
fun
it's all about,
baby. Fun and flirty.
Fun and flirty, baby.
I love it.
It's summer 2020. I'm feeling fun and flirty. Flirty with my girlfriend. Okay, here we go.
I was about to say, I'm like, where are you going with that one, mate? Like,
with my GF when we have our wine nights. All right, here we go, dude. We got new music from artists that we're watching, and wow, this first one, this is massive, all right? We got Voltra and more Kismet teaming up for the track Duplex, and this was released on Never Say Die Records. Take a listen.
They're going places, you know?
It's
incredible. Vulture and War Kismet are just, they're going from strength to strength, reaching up for the trap stars and just pulling them down and pulling themselves up to their level. It's unbelievable. Mm. And I think just getting releases on record labels such as this is really a testament to all of the hard work that they've put in to cultivate their sound and push their career forward. And this is a sign from the EDM gods that, you know, what you're doing is working.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. And what I love is that we really got Vulture's heavy sort of trance dub influence. You know what I mean? Like, there really is nobody doing it like Vulture. And More Kismet, they are such an amazing, amazing producer.
They are.
I actually met More last year at the Goldie Awards in Brooklyn, hosted by A-Track. And they absolutely murdered it. I met More's mom, too. So sweet. Like, I tell you, man. This is a match made in heaven. This track, Duplex, is flawless. So congratulations to both of them. Massive release on Never Say Die Records. Alec, this next one, you're in a tank top, so it looks like you're really feeling these summertime tropical vibes, and I'm so excited to put this one on next. We got Tumix, an artist that we're watching, teaming up with Raphael, and the song is called Azúcar. Take a listen.
Slow motion.
So I'm going to admit, okay, at first I thought I wasn't going to like it because the beginning part of it was, for me at the beginning, because I didn't really understand what they were doing, but I thought it was very clever when it got to, you know, really building up into the drop, right? But it was kind of just, the sounds were a little bit putting me off a bit, right? And a little bit annoying. But then I realized that they were just isolating the syllables and going down. And, you know, from, I'm not going to repeat it because I can't do it, but no, not today. But I thought that was very clever how they went down the syllables, and then just the beat was just unreal.
Like,
what a way to combine a Spanish influence type of dance with house music. I mean, it's unbelievable. Well, hats off to them.
Absolutely, bro. I love the fusion of house music and Spanish vibes just in one track, because, dude, that, now that's fun and flirty. We're talking about fun and flirty. That's fun and
that
flirty right there.
That is a fun and flirty song, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Alec, after he finishes this podcast, is about to go grab a pina colada, throw this shit on, and watch a nice YouTube video of a beach. So, yeah, I'm pumped up on this. I'm really pumped up on this track. I'm in a good mood. Congratulations to Tumix on a massive release. Tumix and Raphael really killed it on this one. Alec, can you introduce this next track for us, please?
Of course, dude. I'm very, very excited to be talking about my man Anima Drop yet again. He just dropped, I think, what is an awesome remix of DD Ray's Black Magic featuring Scarlet Rose.
Setting the scene right now. Anima Drop, like, just took this original Black Magic by DD Ray and Scarlet Rose and just made it his own, man. That's what's so great about this track. Like, I listened to the original, then I listened to the Anima Drop remix, and Anima Drop, like, just took his sound and really, really crafted the elements of this song into that. And, like, you know, there's some remixes that just like add an element here, add an element there, but there's some remixes that truly change the game, and Anima Drop really changed the game on this one. I tell you what, man, now that we're kind of talking about this, Anima Drop and Voltura, that would be sick. That'd be a sick collaboration. What do you think of this one?
Oh, dude. Well, first of all, that's a great idea. That's a phenomenal idea.
Yeah.
Well, even a back-to-back. I mean, but look, I mean, getting back to the song, Anima Drop is just, he's incredible. He's able, we're talking about atmospheric music, right? I said that before. He is the maestro, the wizard of creating these incredible soundscapes. I mean, just sincerely, it's unbelievable. And how he's able to, we talked a little bit about this with Scribe, actually, who's in the melodic bass and melodic dubstep scene as well. And I have noticed with people who are really good with melodic, right, they can pick out the underlying emotions of an original track and figure out how to, in the bass form, lift that emotion a little bit more to the surface and really make it more of a feeling of crescendo, right?
Like
if a song could be quite flat, but when Scribe, and I've seen this Anima Drop do this as well, when they remix it, they bring kind of the underlying emotion and passion to the surface and even beyond. And it's just making it like a truly climactic experience in the vent.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like Anima Drop is able to do. This time in a little bit darker of a sense, right? Mm-hmm. But he can do it certainly on the more lighter and happier notes inside things as well.
Well said. This is just showing the wide range that Anima Drop carries. And I'm pumped up for some more music from Anima Drop, dude. We need to be talking about Anima Drop more often on this podcast. All
absolutely.
Right?
And I'm happy to. I'm absolutely happy to. You know? Oh. And if you enjoyed any of this stuff, definitely go and show them some support, whether it's just subscribing to their SoundCloud or Spotify, or preferably even both. So you just find them on social media. You know, just go and do this. And if you want to find all the links to these various things, definitely go to our website. It's beyondthebeats.co. And for this particular show, you can do /episode 70. Definitely just check out the show notes. We just do nice little bullet points and everything we've talked about. And then if you really want to reach out to us, right, we want to hear from you. We'd love to engage with you more. Definitely hit us up on Instagram. You can find us at btb.pod. On Twitter, we're at podbtb.
Love that, man. How you feeling right now? You feeling good?
I'm feeling all right, man. You know, it's kind of the heat wave going on out here in California.
Yeah.
So it's getting hot. It's getting toasty. So I'm a bit toasty.
I know. I'm
right
surprised
now
to see you in a tank top. I feel like I haven't seen you in a tank top in a long time.
No, it's just, it's the summer's here, man. It's just not, it's not good. It's not tank top weather. It is not suns out, guns out type of mode. Man. Today it is.
I thrive off of the sun, man. Like, I need that good old vitamin D. Like, I don't know how people like live in like the far northern part of the world, or like the far southern part of the world, where like you have like very small glimpses of like the sun. Like I'm a Sunny D kind of guy, you know what I mean? I'm a Sunny D kind of guy. All right, EDM champions, let's dive into this news and culture. And first off, we just want to thank you guys for sending in your questions for us to discuss here on the podcast on Beyond the Beats. We love it, and we want to hear more questions from you guys. Alec already plugged the socials, but please don't be afraid to reach out to us. Send in your questions. This is a conversation. This is for all of us, not just Alec and I. We want to hear your voices. And this question this week comes from Noah in New Jersey. What up to Noah? Thank you for sending in this really dope question, because this is something that I've really grappled with a lot, you know, prior to me doing my first solo raving experience. So I'm very excited to be talking about this. But the question is, how do I get comfortable with solo raving?
That is a phenomenal, phenomenal question.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, yeah. You know, Samir, I'll let you kick this off, because I feel like you're resident in-house expert on all things solo raving, whereas I am more of the grasshopper situation here in the mentor-mentee relationship, and I don't have as much experience. Maybe a couple times I've been solo raving. So please, you know, explain, give your words of wisdom, and I'll chip in just from my experience as well.
Yeah. Sounds good, man. Sounds good. I think this could really be applied to anything that is commonly seen by society as an activity that you would normally do with others. You know, like when you go to a show, when you go to a rave, you usually see people like squad up with like their good friends, and you know, they're all hugging each other and they're all just super happy to be there. And that's the beauty of being at an event with people that you love. Like, you just feel an instant connection with each other. But there's also beauty that comes from doing something on your own that, like I said, is normally seen as an activity that you would do with others. honestly, I think the biggest roadblock for people who are on the fence about solo raving is the fact that they just feel like they're going to be judged by other people by being there by themselves. But let me tell you something right now. Let me just talk directly into this microphone and let you know how it really is. Nobody gives a fuck that you're by yourself. Like, literally nobody cares. The only thing that people care about at a show is having a good time and listening to some dope music. And if you are there for that reason, and I know this is a mental hurdle, and I know it's easier said than done, but if you are there to have a good time and listen to some dope music, then you are already in the mindset to go. You just need to get your legs to walk into the venue. And really, as soon as you walk in, I'm telling you this right now, but as soon as you walk in, you get into your spot, you get comfortable, you're going to realize nobody around you really cares that you're by yourself. So long as that you're having a good time and you're enjoying yourself and you're vibing out. That's what it's all about. I've been to a bunch of shows by myself. And the reason why I go is because I don't want my fun experiences, my good times, to be reliant on other people coming with me. There was a certain point where I was just like, I want to go to this. And the event was Time Warp in Brooklyn, New York in 2015. And I never listened to techno. I didn't know anybody who liked techno. But I was like, I want to go to this because this looks like fun. This looks dope. Nobody would come with me. So I took the train into New York City. I took a subway into Brooklyn and I walked to this warehouse by myself. And I honestly had one of the best times of my life because I overcame a mental hurdle and a mental roadblock of like, what are people going to think about me being by myself? But then as soon as I got there, I realized nobody cares because everybody's just there to have a good time and experience the world that they're in by themselves and in their own special way. And what's great is that you are most likely not going to be the only solo raver. There are most likely going to be other people who are just there by themselves. And I've met some great friends by meeting people at shows that I still keep in touch with, that I still go to shows with.
That's awesome.
But it's not, once you get past this like first show going by yourself, you realize then that you can not only just do this by yourself, but you could probably go to like an amusement park by yourself or to like a park by yourself or like, you know, just dinner. Go get a meal by yourself. I've done that. That's nice. You know what I mean? But never let other people stop you from enjoying something that you want to do. That's what it comes down to. Alec, what do you think of that?
Inspirational over here, my man. Just make me want to pick up my bags and say bye to everyone and just go travel around the world by myself. Don't need anybody.
Man,
the only person you need is you. But on a serious note, though, I think that's some fantastic advice. And that certainly helps people get around one of the mental roadblocks, is thinking that they're alone in doing this, and that yes, you are, but if there are other people who are going to be in your situation as well, so should you choose to go socialize and mingle a bit, then you will find other people.
Yeah.
The other advice that I would give, just on top of it, I think you hit the nail on the head here, man, but what I found helped me, for because I've only done it a few times, but for the first time I made sure I actually went to a place I already knew well. So the surroundings weren't all brand new to me. I enjoy kind of jumping off into the deep end of things. That's just me. Like, I just personally like doing that. So that wasn't necessarily a conscious decision as much as it was just as it worked out. And then I was like, okay, at first I felt kind of weird just being by myself waiting in line, but then having the surroundings be more familiar made it feel a little bit less weird to me. So if you're somebody that is a hurdle because you're kind of just worried. You're like, oh, what am I going to do when I get there? I don't know what it looks like. Do it for a show, at least at first, at a venue or a place that you know quite well, right? And it's maybe also nearby and it's, you know, not in a foreign place at least, right?
Yeah.
You kind of work your way up there. And then just, I would just say be safe as well. Like, be extra cognizant, be extra planned for things too. You know, if you're trying to go out and you're just nervous because you've never been to this place before, you know, you're not going out with anybody, let a friend know that you're heading out, right? You can keep in touch with them if you really want to, but just letting them know, or a significant other or somebody, that you're going out, God forbid, should something happen. And also just be responsible. Don't go and just get completely obliterated at the club, right?
Yeah.
Like, control your intake. And you'll find actually what's very interesting. But I found, and I think there might be some social dynamic reasons for it, but I found that I actually ended up, you know, consuming less alcohol by when I went by myself versus then if I went with friends. You know, and I'm not saying do one or the other, and I'm not saying that you have to be, you know, you have to really always at all times maintain yourself. I'm just saying that there is a social dynamic influence on how much, you know, alcohol you're consuming and things like that, right? And that's understandable. I'm not taking away from that.
I'm just
saying when you're by yourself, you'll see that actually you're just more alert in general, you know, than you would be with friends. And that actually adds a little bit different of an element to the rave. I don't know about you, Samir, but for me, it was like, it was really interesting. I felt like in a way I was a little bit less distracted from other things as well. So, you know, not just consuming less alcohol and just being a little bit more, you know, alert. Not that I'm not alert, but you know what I mean. It's just different when you're going sober.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, it's just completely different. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was something and I highly recommend that people do it.
I love to hear that, brother. All right. Noah, thank you for sending in that fantastic question. Like, seriously, that's a really good one. And EDM champions, don't be afraid to reach out. We're going to put something on our story as well where you guys can submit your questions. But besides that, feel free to tweet at us at podbtb. Our Instagram is at btb.pod. I almost forgot it. But our Instagram is at btb.pod. We're also on Facebook. And you can always email us, connect@beyondthebeats.co. That email is going to go right to Alec and I. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that. Alec, I am pumped up right now on the moves that Spotify is taking in the EDM scene. And if there's anybody who really knows how to select artists to curate these fascinating playlists, it's Spotify, man. They know music, which is obviously like their product, but like they know music. So I'm very excited to be talking about this with you. But Spotify actually just introduced these playlists that they're calling track IDs. And these playlists are, keyword here, co-curated by some of the biggest DJs in the world. I mean, we're talking about people like MK. We got Dixon, Black Coffee. I know Carl Cox is on there as well. We got Aluna from Aluna George. That's pretty sick. Dixon, I think I already said. Jada G. I mean, what's cool is like we got a lot of house. We got a lot of techno. And then like Aluna's coming in there with some more chill tracks, which I love to see. So, Alec, I mean, what do you think about this move from Spotify? This is pretty sick.
It's a very smart move, and I'm surprised it took him this long, actually, to come in this direction. you know, it's interesting because this seems to be catered towards directly the EDM scene, interestingly enough,
100%.
Right?
And, well, the name Track ID is, you know, that kind of alludes to what it's about.
So, I'm assuming, do they have this for, like, hip-hop artists and things, or is there, you know, because I know people put together, like, playlist and things like that, but
yeah,
it's interesting. Does this seem to be more like, is this a project that's really designed just for the EDM community?
That's what it seems like. That's what it seems
like.
And
that's a big sign of things happening, by the way. I mean, that's massive for a big company like Spotify to focus in on electronic music with like specifically catered features to that scene. That's a big moves there. I mean, you know, that's a really big bet, I think, on the popularity of electronic music.
Absolutely. And one thing I just want to point out as I'm kind of scrolling through all these different artists that have their own curated playlists, and there's a lot, man. There's like over 20 on here. But I love the diversity in here. Mm-hmm. I love the diversity. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you got people from all different genders. You got people from all different cultural backgrounds, all these different genres. Like this is a, as Alec likes to say, this is a really nice eclectic mixture of artists from just a bunch of different backgrounds. And I think what Spotify realized here as it comes to electronic music is that electronic music is heavily influenced by an artist's pretty much cultural and background makeup, man. Like you could get so many different sounds based on where an artist comes from, right? So like, you know, you got Carl Cox in here. You got Black Coffee, the South African DJ superstar producer. I mean, he tears it up every single time. You got Amelia Lenz. You got freaking Ken Ishii over here. Like, this is crazy. I love to see all this diversity in here, man.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that, but that's a fantastic point. I think it just shows that, especially electronic music, and I know music in general does, but electronic music does really not have boundaries, both in the physical sense, in terms of geography, you know, racially too, like it's all different races participate in this. And just, you know, just, yeah, everything in within the genres of music itself, like how funky and crazy it can get to how minimalistic and just, some people being like, is this even really music, right? Like just in every sense of the term, it is diverse.
But one thing I do want to point out here is that Spotify states here that these playlists are co-curated by DJs and Spotify's editorial team.
That's
which
awesome.
I find pretty fascinating, right? Like, you know, obviously you got like the DJ's input in these playlists, but you also got like, you also got Spotify's hand in this as well, which makes me believe that, you know, every single one of these tracks isn't necessarily going to be curated by the DJ themselves. Like, DJs are busy people, man. Like, they don't have time to like be updating these playlists. Like, they got teams behind them to do it. But what's great is that I love to see that DJs are working in conjunction with Spotify's team rather than just like Spotify doing this themselves like they do for like a lot of their playlists. They are making sure that their playlists represent diversity and that the sounds that they're trying to curate also represent that diversity as well. So, like I said, big, big move from Spotify. Like, this is really, really neat, and I hope we see more stuff like this.
Oh, well, we're going to, man. The next step is whenever there's a big... I mean, I tell you, man, I'd be scared. If I was in the industry, I'd be scared of what Spotify is going to be doing, because this just opens up the door to...
Ooh.
Oh, I think they're going to start doing live streams and virtual streams, and they're going to be pairing that with a curated playlist of the actual set. So that's
pretty
cool. People are listening along, or the what, you know, and also video podcasts now. So I think there's no reason why they wouldn't be able to do some type of, you know, music videos first, but then some type of, you know, virtual type of set, you know, kind of just coupling that with the ability to see what the DJs are playing and then immediately go and save it. That's a powerful thing. I think that's where they're going to go with this one.
That's a really good point, because they also state here in this press release that you are also going to be able to see the tracks that these DJs actually play in their sets as well. So that's a really, really interesting point, Alec.
I mean, look at the first of the press release. Look at the first line. Here it is. Do you ever dance to your favorite DJ and wonder what track they're mixing? You're not alone. Like, you're not alone. We're always asking track ID anyone at sets. 1001 track list. Watch out.
Oh, wow. All right, Alec, my man.
I'm telling you. I mean, it's going to be, luckily, they also link out to Beatport and things, and I'm not sure Spotify would ever do that, and I don't know if they're looking to get into that scene. So 1001 tracklist, they do have that. However, they, you know, it's just, that's a tough spot for them, because what if Spotify starts doing this, and then 1001 tracklist is still redirecting people to Spotify? It's like kind of like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like
they don't everything's right here on Spotify. Why am I going to 1,000 more?
Right. Yeah. They don't host any of the music themselves. They don't. They all go to third party platforms. So if Spotify starts doing this, people will be like, okay, maybe I'll just go to Spotify just to see.
No,
and the artists are promoting it. I'm sure they'll promote it themselves as well. I mean, if it's a Spotify branded live stream or set, or they sponsor, make some type of agreement, I don't know. You could go so many different paths here, but definitely watch out, people in the industry. They're making some moves.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, also, this just shows how promising the EDM industry is looking as well, just in all aspects, man. Like, we just wrapped it up with the IMS and PISA report last week. Guys, EDM's here to stay. Never forget it. And speaking of EDM being here to stay, shout out to our UK lads over there across the pond, Alex Friends. Well, the UK just had its first socially distanced concert. It's fascinating, because Alec and I actually talked about this a little bit. We were like, do we want to talk about another socially distanced concert on the pod? Well, one thing I really want to focus on here with this particular socially distanced concert is the setup that they implemented. So, Alec, when you click into this Mixmag article, can you tell me about the scene that we're seeing on this big open grass field in the UK?
It's just so funny, because, you know, I wasn't sure if it was ever going to happen, but it looks like they've pulled it off, and I really am interested to talk about what some of the feedback has been. But essentially, you've got this large field with a festival main stage up front, right? People have seen this before. But instead of there being various sections or a barrier down the middle, there are groupings of what looks like to be accommodating up to four people or three people. Mm-hmm. In their own little like contained area, like there's got like a little fence around it, and it's raised a little bit, and there's chairs in there. There are people standing, and you can see, you know, the main stage quite easily, but you're all contained in these, you know, I don't want to call them containers, but they kind of are human containers.
Yeah, they're kind of like these raised metal platforms. Like, everybody has like their own mini stage that like has like four chairs
exactly.
on it. Yeah, like
that's a better way to describe it.
Yeah,
not a human container, but.
It's fascinating, man. Like, I've never actually seen like a socially distanced concert set up like this before. And what's, you know, you just mentioned like everyone's got like their own raised platform with like a fence around, and allowing about four people in there with chairs, but they also give you a fridge, which is pretty cool
as
well.
That is so sweet.
These guys really seem to have thought about everything, man. And massive shout out to Sam Fender for hosting this, the first UK, you know, socially distanced concert. I think it's a really, really neat idea. But Alec, this still kind of begs the question, what about when you're going to the bar? What about when you're going to the bathroom? How do you feel about that right now?
How do I feel about if I were in like, their shoes?
No, like if you had to use a restroom there, you know what I mean? Because right. Like, you know, it's not like each little platform has like its own porta potty. That would be disgusting. But like, how do you feel about that? Like, I don't know, man. Like, let me ask you this question, the golden question. Would you feel comfortable going to an event like this?
No.
Can you tell me why?
We're still in the middle of a pandemic.
Alec has spoken.
Okay, I say that. I don't know the latest statistics from the UK, right? So perhaps in another country, I'd say probably New Zealand, I would feel the most comfortable, just from what I know in terms of statistics, but they may have had recently a few more cases. But in the US, no, I would not feel comfortable.
Interesting.
I wouldn't. Just again, that's 2,500 people
in
one area, and a good portion of them are going to be using the bathrooms. And from what we know, a lot of the issue with coronavirus in terms of its spread is indoors as well, right? So, and that makes a lot of sense, less ventilated areas. And porta potties, if everyone's ever been in one, are not exactly the most ventilated areas, right? They're really not, right? You know, that you can't just crack open a window and there's just some breeze coming in. Like, it's not, okay? So I'm not an expert, but I just think it's a tad bit risky. Maybe if you wear a mask, you know, as you should, hopefully they would enforce that for the bathrooms, I think, perhaps. But just me personally, I'm going to play it a bit safe here and not. How about you? I don't know if you're in the same boat as me.
You know, even this, like, I do think this is a great step in the right direction. I actually really like the setup of this. This is probably the best socially distanced concert I've ever seen put together. You know, like, I think the drive-in rave is cool. I think that's really neat. But I think this is really, really dope. Now, would I go to this? No. Because to be honest, man, like, if we're, like I said, if we're still doing these sorts of measures to have a show, to have a concert, then that's just showing you that this is not safe yet. This is just not a safe thing to do. But I'm glad to see that there are minds that are thinking about, okay, how do we take this social distancing effort to the next level to make sure that we can still have an arts and culture sort of, you know, seen here in a time where it's become deeply depressed, and to make sure that performers and people who work on these concerts and people who are stagehands and setting up production to make sure that these people can also bring home money to their families. Like, it's such a fine balance between like, how do we continue to support people who are in these industries who are hurting versus how do we keep people safe, right? I mean, that's the big balance right there that's in question. And
Such a tough balance. I mean, well,
it's so
it shouldn't
tough.
Be. It is, but it isn't tough. You know what I mean?
I know.
You have to do whatever you can for safety, right? But I do understand it's just, this has been such a prolonged period, especially if you're in the US, just such a prolonged period of not being able to do anything. I mean, I still haven't gotten a bloody haircut.
I know. It's going crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Your flow is raging, dude.
I know. I've got that flow. It's terrible, you know. And I just look, you know, like unkept in general now because of it. So I'm just like, screw. Because I used to have like, you know, really well-kept hair. And it's just gone downhill. Anyhow, that's a complete side tangent. But don't need to know about that. I just wouldn't go to this right now. I don't think it's the right time to. However, if it's going to be done, I wouldn't recommend that it be done in the US yet. However, in other countries, if they want to follow suit, I think this is, if it is going to be done, the way to do it.
All right. Well, Alec has spoken. And look, this is a step in the right direction, like we said. Let's continue to see what other ingenuity we can see come from these concert promoters and people who put on these massive productions, because we're moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And we'd love to see some further steps taken to keep people safe so they can still enjoy their entertainment that they want to consume. So, all right, man. Nice. Okay, guys, please don't forget to reach out to us. We're on Instagram at btb.pod. We're on Twitter at podbtb. We got the website, our beautiful website, where you can find all these amazing articles and pieces of music that we've been talking about, beyondthebeats.co. Don't forget it. You can get on there, get to the playlist, you know, check out some music that we've been talking about on the show, music that Alec and I like. You can read up about us. you can read up about us. It's nice. It's like we got little pictures on there. It's really cute. And above all, we got the show notes on there. And don't forget to support the artists that we've been talking about, because that's what this is all about, man. This community thrives off of people supporting one another. So we'd greatly appreciate your support, and we would greatly appreciate if you guys could support the artists that we talk about. All right, Alec, are you ready to move into it?
Well, man, before we dive into the what are we listening to section, just want to give a quick shout out to all of the new EDM champions joining us. What's up? We see you. If you're here for the first time, welcome. And secondly, the what we're listening to section is where we will dive in and discuss and give our rating for two EPs, tracks, or albums. And this week, we've got one album and one track. So, what is our rating scale? Samir, my friend, take it away.
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track, and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not gonna really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
Thank you, my friend. Okay, I think we should kick it off with a little bit of a funky vibe. How about you?
I'm
you
so like down. You're down? I'm so ready to talk about this. All right.
I know you've been pumped up about this. You really have been. It's awesome to see. I love it.
It's just that I absolutely love Glass Animals. Mm-hmm. I do, you know, and I'm very, very excited that we get a chance on this podcast to talk about Dreamland, the third album from Glass Animals. First one being Zaba, which is my personal favorite, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Second one being How to Be a Human Being. And the third one is Dreamland. And I don't even know what to say right now, because Glass Animals isn't necessarily like EDM. It's more like indie electronic. They're more of a band than they are EDM. But like, what's really, really neat is like their sound is so hard to categorize sometimes. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I think just for the intent of this conversation, let's just call it indie electronic. And
I think that's a good categorization. I think that's solid.
Yeah, dope. And one thing that always stands out in every single Glass Animals track, and Alec, I'm very interested to get your opinion, but Dave's voice is so unique. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody's voice quite like this. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and play one of my favorite tracks off of this album. It's called Melon and the Coconut. Take a listen to this.
Melly's at the cocoa, you can't do this anymore. One day you'll see you're fucking wrong. Sometimes B-sides are the best songs. Sometimes killing time's ready for a fall. I know I can't make you younger. I can't stop life moving onwards. I can't hide you from life's horrors. I'm not making you like your father. Too much quinoa and online shopping. I fight Air Force Ones in boxes. You're a fucking coconut, can't even put them on.
This is a vibe, man. This is a vibe. I can just imagine dancing to this with a melon and a coconut in both hands.
It's interesting because this song is just so... The lyrics of this song are just fascinating because it's about like a breakup, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, why the relationship fell apart. But it's like also really, really funny, you know. I want to read one of the lyrics from this okay. track here. Hold on one second. All right. So it says here, this is like the last four lines. It says... Too much quinoa and online shopping. Off-white Air Force Ones in boxes. You're a fucking coconut. Can't even put them on. Even if you could, you couldn't even pull them off. It's a song basically about like, you can't be somebody that you're not. Glass Animals from an overall concept of this album, these guys have always been known for Dave's voice, absolutely, but the percussion on their first previous two albums, mm-hmm. Zaba and How to Be a Human Being, the percussion has always been highly, highly praised. And what's fascinating is that Glass Animals went from more of like a jungle theme in their sound. They always switch up their theme. They went from like a jungle theme in their sound to something a little bit more hip-hop based, which for some people it will hit home really well for, and for some other people, they might be turned off by this, right? These guys clued you in that this is the direction that they were going in with the first single they released, Tokyo Drifting, which is like such a fantastic pump-up song to listen to, and the music video is really dope as well. But, you know, above all, the standout element are the lyrics, this new hip-hop direction for Glass Animals, and Dave's voice is just fascinating to me. There's nobody... I don't really usually like this, like, raspy, sort of whispery voice, but Dave from Glass Animals, that is somebody I can listen to sing all day long. Alec, so I'm a big Glass Animals fan, so I'm really, really pumped up to get your opinion on this.
So, you know, man, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this. I've always appreciated and I've enjoyed Glass Animals, but I wouldn't say that I've always been their biggest fan. However, I'm actually a pretty big fan of this. I thought this was nice. Really, really well done. Tasteful, creative. You can see what they were going for here and what they were doing. And they're just really combining almost, it feels like, eras of music, right? Like they just combined this. I got a weird sense of nostalgia from hearing kind of like the older style of singing and, you know, just the retro sounds rather more so than the singing. Retro's just the retro sounds, right? Combined with the electronic production, the modern day production and the cleanliness of it, as well as you just said, his very interesting, unique take on how to sing on tracks and things. I thought it was just very, very well done. I totally got it. My favorite out of them, I'd say, and this might be more of the mainstream one, but Heat Waves, I was a particular fan of.
Yes.
You know, I liked all these songs though. I really did. Like, this is something I could get groovy to.
Well, let's give the EDM champions a taste of Heat Waves, one of their I think it was the third single off of this album. Take a listen.
Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. Heat Waves been faking me out. Can't make you happier now. Sometimes all I think about is you.
Yeah, dude, nice. This is definitely my favorite track off of this album, and you could just hear it in it. It's just something that gets you, it makes you want to move, but it puts you in a good mood. You know, it's one of those tracks that just puts you in a good mood overall. I don't know if you felt that way.
Yeah, I absolutely love that song too, man. Like I said, this is such a great album from beginning to end, and it just shows a brand new style, a brand new direction for Glass Animals. All right, stoked that we got a chance to talk about Glass Animals, and I'm very excited to be talking about this next one. I'm so pumped up because we gave his album last year, we gave his album a double Speechless. I'll never forget that moment because I absolutely love this album, dude. But we're talking about Madeon. He just released a brand new single called The Prince. Dude, let's go ahead and play this song for everybody. Take a listen.
About this, man, I enjoy this. I definitely do. It's not my favorite of Madeon's releases, not gonna lie. However, I did really enjoy this. I could see the different direction that he's taken from the Good Faith album, and I'm all about it, and I hope to hear more from him on this level.
Dude, hell yeah. I love this track. And one thing that I'm really happy about with this track is that it was not included in the Good Faith album that we got last year, because and I mean this in the best way, but like the Good Faith album just overall is an album about like these positive emotions, like this kind of euphoria. There's only one track that I think really kind of takes like a darker turn in it, and that one is Mania, which is a great song. But besides that one track in that album, it's very, very uplifting. And the Prince is Madeon exploring darker moods. And he's done this before. He has the Shelter Evil edit. Everybody thought that that remix was Rez's. You remember that?
Everybody thought it was Rez's remix.
It was Madeon's this whole time, the devil. And then we've also got the All My Friends edit, which hasn't been released, but Madeon plays it in a lot of his DJ sets, and it's just absolutely bang. So this definitely would not have fit very well in the greater album, but I love, and we saw this with Good Faith, but I love that Madeon is becoming very confident and comfortable in his singing. And it's really showing. Mm-hmm. Like he is really developing his voice, and it is so, so cool to see. So Madeon with the song The Prince, this is a winner for me. I'm pumped up. Without further ado, Alec, I'm very, very excited to get your opinion on Glass Animals' third album, Dreamland. And I'm very excited because you just mentioned earlier that you were not the biggest fan of Glass Animals before this, but you really enjoyed this album. So, Alec, on a scale of 1 to 5 of our rating scale here at Beyond the Beats, what is your BTB official rating? Let's hear it.
Man, this is a tough one for me. Yeah. This is a tough one. I mean, you know, decimals would be handy, but it's okay. We don't use decimals here. It's fine. Samir's shaking his head for those of us that can't see.
Yeah, hell no.
Okay. Whew, okay. I'm going to give this a level 3 out of 5. Just turn it up.
Oh, my man.
I was going to give it a just bought tickets, but it's not really something that is pushing me to immediately buy tickets. I really, really enjoyed this album. Don't get me wrong. I'm being a little bit more stringent, I think, now with my level 4 out of 5s than before. So, but this is definitely something, you know, I would be happy to go see Glass Animals with you, but it's not something that if they came around would be just number one on my thing I have to go see. Like, I wouldn't go necessarily like alone to it, perhaps, if that's a good way to categorize it. I really enjoyed it, but it's just not quite there for me in that. And, you know, who knows, maybe I'll change my mind. I have a feeling this album is definitely going to grow on me even more as you listen to it more. So perhaps that will change and I will feel different, because it has so much to it. You know, there's a lot to process, I feel like, when you listen to all of the songs on the album, and they each individually contribute in its own way to the overall vibe that Glass Animals is going for. So perhaps it'll change, but for now, very, very solid level 3 out of 5.
I love that, man. Thank you for your BTB rating right there. For me, Glass Animals is absolutely somebody that I need to see. And this fourth album, Dreamland, is just one. It solidified it for me, man. I got to see them. So this is a level 4 out of 5. Just bought tickets for me. When we get back to the dance floor, when we're allowed to go to shows again, I'm 100% buying tickets to go see Glass Animals, because there's creativity, there's an overall story that these guys are trying to tell, and it is very apparent in every single one of their albums that they put out. I will say, okay, my favorite album of theirs is Zaba. That is a crazy, crazy album. And I would actually, if we were rating that one, I would honestly give that a 5 out of 5 speeches. Whoa, that's a fantastic album.
I've got to go check that out then. Yeah, I'm going to go after this episode. I'm going to go check them out.
Dude, right from the beginning, the very first track, like all the way through, just so good. And the lyrics are very, very, like, they have a lot of meaning behind them. Like, I was reading about them, so
I've
definitely
got some dishes to do after this, so definitely I'll pop that on. That'd be nice.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that, man. All right, let's go ahead and move into Madeon with his brand new track, The Prince. Alec, here we go. What are you going to give The Prince? Let's hear it.
This is another tough one, man. This is tough this week. You know, no decimals. It's so hard.
Fuck your decimals, dude.
Samir hates decimals.
I hate decimals, man.
This is also going to be a level 3 out of 5. Turn it up for me.
Okay.
Really enjoyed. I'd definitely go for the volume knob should this come on. I'm overall just very excited to see the direction that Madeon takes us, and I think it's going to lead us down a very interesting path indeed. So I'm very much looking forward to it. This is a very, very solid release. Just not quite there for me in terms of the level 4 out of 5, but it's very, very close.
Love to hear it, man. Love to hear it. I'm actually going to agree with you, man. Level 3 out of 5, turn it up for me as well. This track, we're talking about this in a vacuum, right? But this track right here, it's a great track, and it makes you want to sing along, and it really makes you want to jam out, right? It's a great track. All right.
Okay. Alec. Dude, we're at the end. Well, near the end.
Yeah. Hell yeah. If there's one thing that Alec and I absolutely love, It's discovering new music, man. Mm-hmm. It's all about finding dope artists that are killing it in their own special ways and pioneering their own sounds. And I gotta say, I think we got some really, really fascinating and unique artists to talk about this week for the artists that were watching on episode 70. Who wants to kick this one off, Alec? I feel like maybe you should kick this off because you got some aggression in yours.
Oh,
I'm feeling, let's get the energy going, baby. Let's go.
Let's get this pumped up and turned up a notch. Everybody, EDM champions, let me introduce you to the aggressive sounds of Mwah Deep. Okay, this is a track called Back to Berlin, and you're going to get some DMB slapped right across your silly faces.
This is the part where I'll blow your fucking head off, son.
It just hurts right, so just much. I feel like a truck just hit me in the face, dude. Oh, man. What I love is like, and Alec, maybe you can provide some more context here, but what I love is like this track is called Back to Berlin. So like you automatically think like we're going to get some Berlin German techno, just like straight up pounding like Berghain style, right? But hell no, dude. Mwah Deep came in here and just straight up slapped us all around, backhanded us with some crazy aggressive DMB. Like this is straight up energy. This is what I need when I need to get pumped up to do like a PR on my bench press, Alec. I'm pumped up on this, man. How did you find this guy?
I actually found him through Noisia Radio.
He was on
Noisia Radio. So, I mean, that's how, you know, he's got support from like just huge, huge industry people, right? On Vision Recordings. That's what he's been releasing music on. And this is probably his most famous song. But I will tell you, all of his other stuff is amazing too. It's just the incredible creativity that he's bringing to the drum and bass scene. It's currently, in my opinion, up there with just like the absolute best. I mean, you can't even really
put big words.
A certain... Yeah, I really do. Because, I mean, it's just you listen to all of his tracks and they're just so diverse and unique and intricately designed and done. It's different, right? It's creative. It's really pushing drum and bass further and further in terms of its boundaries and what can be considered drum and bass. And so he just has this amazing ability to really craft incredibly intricate but yet very clean sounding soundscapes, right? Which is hard to do. It's hard to be very intricate. But I don't know if you noticed, but there was a cleanness that came, right? Mm-hmm. With this. Like it really hit the mark.
It wasn't muddy. You were hearing a lot, but also at the same time, you knew what you were hearing.
It was almost crystal, right, in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's certainly like there is definitely it's like an expressionist style in arts, right? Almost in music to have that little bit more of a warped sound, right? Mm-hmm. And make the production not, you know, as purposefully just not as crystal. But with this, it really works well because you just hear every single layer there is in the song. And I'm just really about it. I'm a big fan of him. I believe he is from Germany, so I think that's also why he's definitely doing play on the Back to Berlin there. But just fantastic. Hope this guy keeps it up. And he's just, you know, when you get support from Noisia, you know, you know you're doing something right.
Oh yeah.
Just really, it's unbelievable. So just cannot wait to see what the coming years have in store for Mwah Deep.
I'm pumped up on this DMB love that we have going on over here. Alec, it's like you read my mind, man. It's like you knew that I need to hear some more DMB.
Well, we texted about it, didn't we? And you were like, yeah, I need to hear some more. It's not quite up the alley that you were looking at right there.
Yeah. This is certainly a different style than what I was listening to over the weekend. But man, Mwah Deep is just that. This guy's about to send me down a freaking rabbit hole. I can't wait to check out some more of his music.
Me too. And I hope I'm saying that right. I actually don't know. I did not confirm if this is correct. So it could be Mwah Deep or I don't know. It's addressing. So I'll reach
out to
him.
Hopefully he'll correct us when he hears this, for sure, dude.
Hey, we could be right. Okay, we could be right. Don't be so negative.
No, absolutely.
Nancy.
Absolutely, man. You know, we've been getting better with pronunciations. I got to say, I feel like we're getting better.
We have. The Achilles heel. It's Achilles heel of the Beyond the Beats podcast.
Absolutely. All right, here we go, man. I am pumped up right now to be talking about my artists that I'm watching. All right, let's go. EDM champions, shufflers especially, strap in. We're talking about Malachi the Squid. Yeah, you heard me right. Malachi the Squid. Massive shout out to an EDM champion, Katie, for putting Malachi the Squid on our radars. She straight up tweeted at us, Alex. She got the Twitter fingers out. She was like,
I saw, she called us out.
She said, Beyond the Beats is sleeping on Malachi the Squid, and she was absolutely right. Thank you for waking us up. I got my alarm set and nice and loud, and I'm pumped up to be talking about Malachi and this track, Monsters. Take a listen to this.
Monsters, off on the bed with the monsters. Check where beat the chakra. Check where beat the chakra. Walk on the bed with the monsters. Walk on the bed with the monsters. Walk on the bed with the monsters. Check where beat the chakra. Walk on the bed with the monsters. Walk on the bed with the monsters.
Dude, yeah, she's correct. We've been sleeping. We've been sleeping, man. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, EDM champions. We've been sleeping, but we have been, you know, enlightened now by this. And just, you talk about creativity and just the level of intricacy that you see in songs. Malachi the Squid, first of all, fantastic bloody name.
I love that.
Fantastic bloody name. But then just the way that this is designed is just, it's incredible. It's really, it's incredibly creative. It's using sounds that just you think would should have no place in music, just none whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was like, think of a sound that just is the complete opposite of what you would expect to hear in a song. And Malachi the Squid said, okay, challenge accepted. Here we go. This is what we're putting into music.
I love that. I feel like that's what happened.
It's like, who dared you? Like, what happened? And if what you're not, happened? it's like, what's your story? Yeah,
but it works, man. That's the best part about this. And, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, but I feel like just bass house music has kind of become oversaturated of all the people who are doing it. But Malachi the Squid, like, he came in here, he took bass house, and he's calling it Squid Bass. And I
love
that, man. Because, you know, on the drop, you kind of hear, like, these suction cup sounds, like, would sound like a squid. You know what I mean? I don't want to make the noise. I can't make it. But
try it.
You guys heard it. It's weird. Like, you guys heard it on the drop, so you know what I'm talking
you
about here. But,
did it.
But you know, awesome. Malachi is encompassing all that is great about electronic music. Creativity, energy, and trying something new and not being afraid to like truly dive into something new. Like this guy is kind of like a Lemonade to me, because a Lemonade calls his music I want whale bass or something like that. I forgot what it's called, but like he uses like whale sounds or something in his tracks,
man. Yeah, he's
but
a character.
Like, Malachi the Squid, he can go down the same direction as a Lemonade and be just a pioneer in trying new sounds and really influencing a genre. And I have a feeling Malachi is going to do that. You know what, man? I listened to Malachi the Squid's music and I told myself I'm never eating calamari again. I have a mad, mad respect for squids. So I'm pumped up on this. Malachi, you are a dope, dope dude. You're a dope producer. Keep doing what you're doing, because you can go really far with this. Keep up the good work.
I love that, man. I love the passion about it.
I'm pumped up.
But I have kind of a dumb question for you. Is calamari squid or octopus?
It's squid.
It is squid. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm the dumbass. All right. Fair enough.
All good. Actually, it's funny because I Googled that just now. And the first question on Google that came up, like they have like recommended questions, is calamari squid or octopus? So you're not alone in like people Googling
that. Well, we learned something new today, everybody. We've learned things.
Thank you, Malachi. Thank you for teaching us something new. But That's it. That's our episode 70 right there of Beyond the Beats. You know, if there's one thing to really take away from this, and I said this already, but don't be afraid to get creative, man. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to get creative. Absolutely. Like, if you think people are going to find something weird that you're doing that's different, good. Let them find it weird, because there might be people out there who really enjoy what you're doing. Like, if we just box ourselves into like the same thing over and over again, life is going to get boring. There's not going to be innovation. But when you got people like Malachi the Squid, straight up throwing squid sounds into bass house tracks, let's go. Like, that's what I want to see, man. We got to see more of that.
Dude, very, very good ending point, my man. Just, I can't reiterate that more. Just get creative, everybody, right? Like, do take a sound that you think just shouldn't be involved or anywhere near music and just see if you can incorporate it. That's the beauty of electronic music, is that you can do that. You know, it really breaks everything down to its core and just makes you realize that music is just, you know, organizing sounds, right? Is really what it gets down to. And you can make music out of pretty much any sound if you try, right? And you're good and you have talent. Like, it's not just about trying, but just get creative, everybody. I mean, I know the pandemic is hard for everybody, particularly if you're in the US right now and you're still kind of under lockdown restrictions, but just, you know, use the time to get creative, and I think it will give people a lot of energy.
Thank you, Alec. What a positive note to end on, my friend. Ah, it's good seeing you. It's good talking to the EDM champions.
Good seeing you, my man.
We got episode 70 in the books. I got the biggest smile on my face because I'm just excited for the future of Beyond the Beats. And I'm excited to get back to the dance floor as well, man. I know we all are. But you know what? There's a couple steps that we all got to take to get there. So you know what? Let's go ahead and just reiterate that one more time. All right. Okay. Here we go. Guys, don't forget to wash your hands, social distance, wear a mask. And then above all, never forget that there are people out there who are hurting and who are fighting for equality in our world. So never forget that Black Lives Matter. We'll see you guys soon.